Hello guys, Jack here from Jack Makes Happy Hour podcast, and yes, the rumours are true, we're heading back out on tour in May 2024. 68% of the tickets are already sold out, but there are still a few left at Edinburgh, Newcastle, Manchester, Birmingham, Leeds, Cardiff, Sheffield, Nottingham, Bristol, Bury, and our home city of Norwich. So, don't waste any time, grab your tickets today, and come and watch me, Alfie and Robbie live.
And me.
Mainly me, Alfie and Robbie, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
HappyHourLive.co.uk. See you in May.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
Hello guys, welcome back to Jack Makes Happy Hour podcast. Christmas has been and gone, Stevie.
It has.
It's the 28th of December. How was your Christmas?
It was lovely.
Let's do that really weird talk where it's clearly we're recording it before it. But what happened? What went wrong? I had some stuff went wrong for you at Christmas.
Yeah. My oven blew up.
Your oven blew up.
Yeah, my mum's not very good at cooking and she came over and she destroyed my kitchen.
Did she? How's your dad?
They've been divorced years. It's quite weird to bring him up,
two
actually.
Two separate questions. I'm not saying how's their relationship. I said, how's your mum? How's your dad?
He's okay.
Okay, brilliant.
It's very weird to ask. How was your Christmas?
Oh, great, mate.
Yeah? What's your favourite present you got?
I got a Lambo.
Yeah? Yeah, who got you that?
Fiona.
Really?
Yeah, Edinton's paying well. Now, less of this, because
it's stupid.
Weird. Today, to finish 2023, I have one of the guests I am the most excited for. It's my favourite comedian in the world right now.
Wow.
It's Mr. Josh Pugh. How are you, mate?
I'm great, yeah. Thanks for having me. No, I'm buzzing.
Mate, can I just say, right, and I've got a habit of doing this, you're very handsome.
Oh, thank you, mate.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be some praise for my artistic work, but when it turned out to be just a physical, yeah, buzzing with that. Thank you very much. Yeah,
no, but like I say, you are my favourite comedian as well. So thanks for coming on.
Yeah, my pleasure, mate. It's a lovely studio.
Do you like it?
It's quite intense, isn't it?
Yeah,
as a theme, the colour scheme. It's up and at you. Yeah, I like it, mate. It's nice.
Steve always says it looks like a kids' TV show. So
I never say that. Every guest that comes in, Jack, before cameras go on, always goes, looks like a kids' TV set. And I hear him say it about four times a day.
I wanted it to look cool, and I'm not sure. Is it cool?
It is cool, yeah. It's cool. It's quite oppressive, and it's kind of feel under attack by the...
It looks a bit like Dick and Dom's bungalow.
Does it?
I don't know.
Do you feel like you're forced to be happy sitting in it?
I feel genuine happiness.
Okay.
Yeah. I really do. It's great to be here.
Now, we obviously give lovely intros to all of our guests who have given up their time, but I mean it. Fiona, you bought me tickets to see Josh, didn't you, on my 30th birthday? Oh, yeah, that was for Christmas. Yeah, 30th birthday, came and saw you at the Norwich Playhouse.
Yeah.
How was that gig for you?
Yeah, it was good, you know. Yeah. Norwich is a cool place, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not too bad.
It's a bit of a nightmare to get to, but it's... Yeah, it's wicked. Cool pubs.
Yeah.
Not what I expected. I stayed in a weird place in Norwich, if I remember.
Maid's Head?
No, it was like an apartment block.
Okay.
But there was like a concierge, but it was like a hotel, but it felt like an office. Also Ooh. Felt like kind of sheltered accommodation. it was a weird setup.
I wish I could
I have no
that.
Idea what yeah. that would be.
No idea. No idea. Did you know Norwich used to have a cathedral for every week of the year?
Church. Weird if they're
Sorry.
Cathedrals.
Yeah. Church.
Yeah.
And a pub for every day of the year.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get that in the stand-up.
Yeah, well,
yeah. Right, now we always start the same way. Happy Hour Hall of Fame, Josh.
Yeah.
If you could put any item into the Happy Hour Hall of Fame, what would it be, my friend?
Any item at all? Is it an inanimate object?
Place, a person, a thing, a feeling?
A feeling? What? You know what I'd put in? I'd put in the first pub on a pub crawl. And the feeling of being in that first bar, this is it, this is happening, this is going to be great. It never gets any better than that. That's as good as it gets, but it's exciting. There used to be a place in where I live in Addison called Sweeties.
It was Sweeties? Like
Sweeties. The guy used to own it, the surname was Sweet.
Right.
So it was actually called the White Lion. Mm. It was called Sweeties. And the feeling of meeting there after work on a Friday or on a Sunday morning, it was, if you could bottle that feeling,
yeah,
it's absolutely, it was magic.
That's a great answer.
That's one of my favourite answers I've ever had.
Yeah, I like it because it is true. But then is it a bit depressing because it's all downhill from there, isn't it?
It is, if you want to look at it like that. But it's also, it's anything could happen.
Yeah.
At that point, although nothing's going to happen. At that point, anything. We're going to go out, we're going to shag 10 women each. 3 hours there, it's 3 hours like you're still in the same place. And then it happens like if you go on a holiday or like a trip, and you're like, oh, let's go back to that place, because you're chasing that first.
The first height. Yeah, and it's never as good.
Yeah, it's great.
Never as good. Are you a clubbing man? Are your clubbing days behind you? Or
clubbing days are behind me, yeah. I was never really a club guy.
No?
I struggled with it. I struggled to kind of... It's such a gear shift if you think about it, isn't it, really? You're kind of in the pub,
yeah,
playing pool, having a chat. Next thing, you're disco dancing.
It's forced fun, I find.
It's hard work, mate. It's a gear shift. But when I felt like when I was going out, there was no late bars. Everything was, it was pub, club.
Yeah.
And I kind of should have left it at the pub, really.
We took Happy Hour on tour last year, went and saw loads of like amazing cities around the UK and stuff. And I was actually disappointed at how many of these cities don't do anything past midnight. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're quite blessed in Norwich.
Mate, London's the worst. You can't get a drink after half 10 in London. And because it's London, I give it less leeway anyway. Mm. I'm ready to hate it. But, you know, if something, one thing goes wrong in anywhere else in the country, I'm like, oh, no, these things happen. Mm. Something goes wrong in London, city. Can't get a drink. Yeah, it's, but yeah, there's loads of places. It's not easy. You need knowledge. You need inside knowledge.
Yeah, okay. I love it. Josh Pugh's answer to the Hall of Fame is the first pub. On a pub crawl. That's up there, that.
That's a great answer.
That is up there. Now, some quick fire questions before we get into the interview to get to know the man behind the comic. Stevie, kick us off.
As you know, Christmas has just been and gone.
Yeah. How was your Christmas?
Magical.
What is the worst present you've ever given or received?
The worst... Well, I think this is a good present. I used to give a lot of signed stuff. This is before I did anything. It's when I used to work in an office, before I'd done a single gig, before I'd achieved anything in show business. I used to enjoy... I'd give my sister signed stuff. And
what would you sign if you didn't have any?
Caps. books.
Just like random brands?
Yeah, anything. Like calendars, books.
Calendars?
Yeah. And because... My sister was like, oh, that's crappy. Like, I think the first time she was funny, then when it was every year, it was a bit much. But my mum would be like, oh, no, he's got you that. Don't disrespect the, you know, put it with the other pile, put it with the rest of the pile.
She was putting it in a separate pile.
Yeah.
Are these Josh Pugh calendars?
No, this is just like any cat, like staff, it's like staffies, like watercolours, anything. I just sign stuff.
Do you give signed stuff now that you are
it feels a bit on the nose now, but yeah.
Okay, love it. What's the biggest animal you reckon you could beat in a scrap?
I think I could take a horse on a bad day. If I'm having a good day and he's having a bad day, if he's taking me lightly, he's in trouble. I think I'd just get underneath and just look upwards. Yeah, just volume.
I'm quite surprised how quickly you had that answer.
Well, I kind of think anything on... It's got to be on land.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd struggle in water.
And I'm struggling in water. Aerial, I'm up against it.
Yeah.
So I think a horse, it's athletic, and also it's not a biter.
No.
It's only going to kick you and...
Yeah, and stamp on your head, though.
It could, yeah. But yeah, I think a horse.
A horse.
I think, you know, it depends what the judges like as well. If it's volume of work, I think I'd get the nod. But if it's on quality and...
I'll take it. What's the weirdest app you've got on your phone?
The weirdest app? I should look.
Let's have a look. Have a look. It's always froze up. Yeah. Strange answers. What's been the strangest answer so far?
We get a lot of things like aeroplane scanners.
Mark Noble had Uber for the sea. No, Waze for the sea, didn't he?
Yeah, so yeah. He knew where he was going on his boat.
Well, that's crazy.
We had the ghost hunting app.
Yeah, but that was from a ghost hunter, so that's not weird, is it?
Weird that he needed an app to do it.
No, yeah. This initially might not sound very obscure, but I've got TSB. But I don't have any accounts with TSB. It's a key information. Okay. I'm a nationwide man, so I'm not quite sure why that's on there. But that's it. I've not got anything.
You've got a banking app for someone you're not registered
for. Yeah. I think I must have thought about switching at one point and then never did it. But
kept it just in the back pocket. Yeah. Just in case. Always ready.
Ready to go whenever those guys are.
What's something you've collected, Josh?
Collected? I used to collect remember Panda Pops?
Yeah.
The lids on Panda Pops were all slightly different pandas. The pandas on each of the flavours were doing something slightly different. And I think at one point I was a full set on all of them.
Really?
Yeah. I did stuff like football stickers and Pokemon cards and that stuff when I was a kid, but yeah.
No, I'm gutted. I didn't know about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's no good to anybody really, but...
No, but that's collections in general, isn't it?
Like, oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. I enjoy it. And it's because you're not. What's great about collecting something, you can't just be able to go and get it.
Mm. Mm.
You know, so if you can buy a completed sticker book online, it's not the same.
No.
It's about the journey, not the destination.
But so what, would the cherry one always have the cherry panda and the cola one always have the cola panda?
No. Because that would make it easier, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That would solve that. No, they're just randomly allocated.
But you wouldn't go in the shop and just find a one?
Oh, no, because this is before I'm accessing money. This is, I'm at a social club on a Friday, and I'll get the kids a pop. And I've got one. Do you know what I mean? I'd have a bag of snaps and a panda pop. And then just sprint round the bowling green. Yeah. But never on the bowling green. Right. That's red card, that is. It's just run around the bowling green. That's one of the best nights of your life when you're a kid in a social club.
Yeah.
Working in a school. Yeah, it's great.
We were bowling green boys, though. We went on the green.
Whoa, man, that's...
I know.
That's
we're not all bad boys, Josh. We're not all bad boys. You collect your panda pops, mate. I'm knee sliding on the new turf.
What's something nobody knows about you?
Wow.
Deep.
Why can't we just ask a guest for their secrets?
Yeah, this is Diary of a CEO shit.
What does nobody know about me?
I'm going to get a Huel out in a minute.
Yeah, well, I'll get up at 4 a.m. No, I am.
Email Gary.
This is a hard question.
Yeah.
What does nobody know?
Because you don't want to expose yourself, do you?
No, well, I tell you, probably nobody knows this. I prayed every day for a year once.
Did you? Are you religious?
No.
Okay.
But when I was a kid, I just made the decision. A New Year, you know, you have a New Year's resolution.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna pray every day for a year before I go to bed.
What were you praying for?
I think it's just a list of requests, really.
Yeah. For Santa.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a list of stuff I wanted to happen.
Yeah.
But I think it's probably quite. You'd probably call it a gratitude list now.
Okay. You know,
these things that people do.
Yeah.
I think I was like, before I go to bed, I think I'd say thanks for my mum and dad. And then immediately into request then. can I get a PS4? Can I get, you know, a bit of acknowledge? Yeah, I've got, but also can I get, yeah.
Do you know what? This is not to sort of like make it a bit weird, but I have OCD, right? Yeah. And when I was a kid, I had a prayer that I would recite. Would you say yours out loud or would you say it in your head?
I'd say it in the same voice that I'd commentate in when I was playing FIFA.
Oh.
That tone of, it's verbal, it's out loud, but it's not audible to everybody else. Yeah,
right.
It's kind of it's just a disembodied voice. Yeah,
because I would recite one in my head. Because I used to think if I didn't do it, my whole family would die.
Yeah.
So I'd have it in my head, nice and morbid. But happy Christmas. I'd do it in my head, and I'd do it the same. And even though I weren't saying it out loud, if I tripped over a word in my head, I'd have to restart it and do it again.
I totally get that.
Yeah.
Totally get that. Yeah.
Okay, final one. Josh, who is your hero?
DB, David Beckham.
Oh.
The one and only.
Okay.
Just loved the guy. Just loved him. He was so... When he started playing, he was so exciting. I remember he was going from the halfway line. And even before that, he was in number 23. This good-looking footballer. I thought, this guy's great.
Mm.
And I just love everything he's done.
That's the reason you're a Man United fan, isn't it?
My mum fancied David Beckham, so I was forced into supporting him.
Are you a United fan?
I'm not. Well, I kind of grew up... My granddad was a big United fan.
Right.
I kind of grew up as a bit of a United fan, but then I lost interest in him many years ago. And I'm a Coventry City fan.
Coventry
so my equipment was probably Darren Huckabee. I should say Darren Huckabee. But Norwich. But
I see him every day. this morning. I saw him this morning.
but Becker, I can remember he started going out with Victoria.
Yeah.
And it was in that phase when, you know, you hate girls. I've not got a girlfriend, you know, disgusted by girls. And my dad had to take me for a walk and calm me down because I was so upset that David Beckham was with his posh boys. And I honestly needed like taking aside, like I was beside myself.
What? I just don't get it.
Because he was my hero.
Yeah, and she's taken him.
And I was at the point where to have a girlfriend is like, you can't have a girlfriend. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And then Beckham had a girlfriend.
It's gay to have a girlfriend, isn't it?
Yeah. what's he doing? And my dad literally had to give me a bit of a. And I think it's the only time, really, not to get too deep, that my dad's ever kind of really spoke to me like that.
Right.
The only time he's addressed an issue with me, it was to sit me down and be like, you know, these things, he's still the same man.
He's still the same man!
He can still whip balls. Okay, there we go. What an answer. Do you like the, he's in the dock? I take it he's in the dock.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Great, isn't it?
Yeah, I like that bit when he's barbecuing a mushroom between 9 a.m. and 11 p.m. He's just grilling. He's grilling any all day.
Love it. Now, Josh, you grew up in a place called Atherstone in Warwickshire.
Still live there, mate.
Still live there?
Still there.
Okay. We know nothing about it.
I've never heard of it.
No, never heard of it.
Yeah, really.
So how would you describe it to two lads that don't... Not lads. I'm not saying like we're lads. I mean two...
Geezers. Yeah, yeah.
That have never heard of Atherstone.
So it's literally basically in the middle of the country.
Right.
It's a Coventry postcode. It's a Tamworth dialing code on the phone if you're calling anyone's landline.
Confusing.
Yeah, it is. It's kind of... But what Atherstone's famous for is the Atherstone ball game. Have you heard of this?
I've heard of this.
Yeah.
And I have got some questions for you about that.
Okay, yeah. So that's what it's famous for, basically a big brawl that we'll get into.
Yeah.
But it's like a market town, quite industrial. Biggest... Audi headquarters is there.
Oh.
HQ.
Does that mean that they've got the biggest Audi store as well then?
No. Oh. They don't. That is a good store, solid store, yeah. But it's not the it's more of a
hub.
Yeah,
right.
It's like Disneyland. It's like they're not making the films there.
yeah. Have you been there?
Disney.
the Audi.
Oh yeah, I've been to the Audi. Yeah.
What, the headquarters?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What, they invite you down? Now you're a name.
Yeah, cut the ribbon. I live right by it.
What do you do when you go in there?
I don't go in, I just go like...
Around.
Walk the dog around the
side. Have you been in there?
Have I? But no, I'd love to though, given the opportunity. I'd love to.
It's a bit like Willy Wonka, isn't it? Like, you really want to get through those gates.
It'll just be offices though, won't it?
Yeah, but still.
But there's offices and there's a warehouse.
Right.
And the place where is the chill.
The what?
The chill.
The chill.
That's where all the cold products are. That's like the inner magic circle.
Well, you've done the Apollo now. Once you, your next step, the chill. I was researching Atherstone on Wikipedia. You're not the only famous person from Atherstone.
Okay.
So we've got a list here of some of the others, and I want to see if just by their names alone, you can tell us who they are. So, Stevie, kick us off with this.
Bernard Hunt, MBE.
MBE, Bernard Hunt. Okay, he sounds old. He sounds kind of, maybe some kind of, he's done something in engineering.
No.
Or in agriculture.
No.
Yeah. We're not just going to keep saying no until you that's the hour. He's a golfer.
Wow.
Bernard Hunt golfer, MBE.
We've got a few golf courses in and around the area.
Ah, okay, because there's a lot on Wikipedia, golfers from Atherstone.
Yeah.
Then we move on to Andy Green.
Andy Green, is he a footballer?
He's an RAF fighter pilot who holds the record for the world land speed record.
Wow.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, man.
That's pretty cool.
That is impressive.
I think you're above Bernard Hunt, the golfer, but I'm not sure if you're...
No, I'm not breaking records, am I?
What about Johnny Schofield?
Johnny Schofield, okay. I mean, he's... I feel like you're going to put somebody just a normal, a fake name in there at some point.
No,
it's not fake, but it's
quite a good one.
He's not done loads.
Johnny Scope, no idea, is he an actor?
He was an ex-goalkeeper who went on to run an off-licence.
Went on to. That was his
And it says that on Wikipedia, I love that.
We've got a few goalkeepers in Atherstone.
Have you?
I wanted to say in case you've got others on there, but we've got a few goalkeepers.
We've only got one more, and that's Sarah Thornton.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon Prime. You know Amazon Prime is not just a shipping subscription, right? It's got everything, including streaming TV and movies on Prime Video. And of course, Prime's fast, free shipping. Go from watching your favorite shows to getting your favorite things. Whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever you're into.
Is she a jockey?
She killed her husband.
It's not a profession, though, is it?
Just says local resident convicted of murdering her violent husband. You're above her.
Yeah. MBA.
Why did you put her on the list?
I don't know. That's who came up, because we do this with quite a few guests and we've had some mad names on there, and then this place has got that.
Yeah.
Are you the most famous person in Atherstone?
There's a guy called Paul Broadhurst who played in the Ryder Cup for Europe.
Okay, that's impressive.
He's impressed. Yeah, but you know, it's a long time ago, but you know. And who else is that? That might be it.
Currently, it's definitely you then.
Currently, yeah.
What does it make you a celebrity if you win the Shrovetide ball game?
I'd say it does.
Yeah?
I'd say it does. If I won a BAFTA, it would get less respect in the town than if I won the Atherstone ball game.
Really?
100%.
If you walked past a previous winner, would you know?
You know them. You can't
no way.
You kind of know them, yeah. They're kind of, they all work for the local firm. It's quite a traditional place. They all work for the local firms and drink in certain pubs. And you kind of represent your local. You know, you kind of have a preference of, for the Angel or for...
Sweeties.
Sweeties. That's flats now, Sweeties. It's always the way it goes, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, you're a big deal.
Can you explain to our audience what this is, this game?
So it gets... So it's on Shrove Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what that's got to do with the second coming of Christ, I do not know, but on Shrove Tuesday, they throw out of a second-story window a big leather ball, which is made by Webb Ellis, who make the rugby balls.
Oh, okay.
And they throw this ball out, and between the hours of 3 and 5, people will kick it up and down a street in Atherstone, which is closed off. You fight for it, you get it, you fight for it, you kick it, you fight for it. And then with about half an hour to go, they're like, oh, we're not going to kick it anymore. And it's the last person to be holding the ball when the klaxon goes. They are declared the winner.
When you say they fight for it and kick it and fight for it, what kind of fighting are we talking?
Well, like punching and kicking and that.
Like just fully...
That brutal?
It's, yeah. I'm not sure you've got videos, but it's...
I vaguely remember something coming up on Facebook years ago.
Twitter always captures it every year. Somehow Twitter picks it up, and it used to be on Midlands Today.
Right.
That used, when you were a kid at school, it used to be like you try and get on Midlands Today. So that was always my thing. And people be chasing the ball. I'm just chasing Shefali just up and down the street in the back.
How many years has this been going then?
I think it's been going 800 years.
800?
It used to be with a pig's bladder. And now it's there's always calls for it to be banned and all this stuff, and it is quite a violent thing, and I kind of used to think, oh, this is a bit barbaric, it should be stopped. Whereas now I'm thinking, a lot of people do get enjoyment out of it,
yeah,
and you're not going to get swept up in it by accident.
No,
you know when it's on. If you don't want to go in, don't go in.
Yeah, when I found out that this was a thing that that happens where you're from. We were speaking in the car on the way up. I was like, I wonder if Josh knows about this. But yeah. Obviously you're going to know. Yeah, I didn't realise how big...
So you get the afternoon off school.
No way.
Yeah, you get the afternoon off school so you can go.
Why have we not had anything like that in Norwich?
I'm not sure I want it.
I'd love to play that.
Getting punched in the face.
Well, it says here that there's three ribbons on it. And if you obtain one of the ribbons, you can transfer it for money.
Yeah, that's more for the kids.
Oh.
They throw it out and it's got ribbons on. And if you pull a ribbon off it, sometimes a kid might get the ribbon or the... They used to a thing when you're kids, you kind of... Before the ball comes out, they just throw like pennies. Just showered like kids with one and two peas, just handfuls.
Brutal.
The next step for me really would be to throw the ball out. That's the most prestigious.
That's what I was going to ask. That's
more than switching the lights on.
Is it?
Is to throw the Shrove Tuesday ball out.
Have you done the lights yet?
Not done the lights. I've been overlooked actually, Jack, a couple of times.
Right. Who got the call?
Just
you?
Local kids. Which yeah, you know, I kind of get it, but at the same time, you know,
what have they done?
Utilize me. Do you know what I mean? Utilize me. So yeah, it's quite a prestigious thing in the town.
I don't get when. So the aim of the game is to have the ball at the end.
Yeah.
So you fight for it, you get it.
Yeah.
But why would then someone want to kick it? You keep the ball, no? Or is that against
you only
the
kick
rule?
It for the first no. hour and a half?
You kick it up and down. That's kind of to be fighting for a ball for 2 hours. It's pretty not much of a spectacle.
Yeah.
So for the interest of occasion,
yeah,
that they kick it up and down. And then somebody will be decided, and he'll be like, you actually want to win the last scrum before the last kick, if that makes sense.
Right.
And you're going in teams, it could be like, oh, me, Jack and Stevie are in.
Yeah.
So like, oh, Stevie's won the scrum.
Yeah.
Before. So Steve is going to kick it to where me and you are now.
So I'm trying to purposefully give it to someone I want to have the ball.
Oh, okay.
And then usually somebody smaller, traditionally, it would have been like a miner,
right?
As in like a coal miner.
Yeah.
would get the ball, like somebody strong but small. You're at a disadvantage to be tall. You're going to be on the floor, probably in a doorway.
Not flicking on headers, then.
Yeah, you're going to bring it down, bring others into play. No, you kind of want to hold it, and it usually goes in a doorway. It goes under benches. It's brutal.
The shops get smashed up and stuff.
The board, everything gets boarded up. The night before, they board the whole street up.
This is way more official than
They're
I
so
thought.
Prepped for it.
How many people do you think play this?
Oh, there's hundreds in the mix. There's hundreds in the mix. And it's quite interesting. There's a ship called HMS Atherstone.
Mm.
So every now and again, you just get like a team of sailors there in the whites. It's like something off The Simpsons. So yeah, it's a big thing in the town. Close the roads off. There's stewards. There's a police presence, but the policing is we don't get involved unless someone's really hurt.
I've read here that it says legend has it many an old feud has settled on ball game day.
It's a bit of a purge.
Mm.
Yeah, it's a bit of a purge.
It says 2019 edition of the game was noted for being extremely violent, with several videos of the event being uploaded to social media. Event organisers disputed the accounts of violence as nothing new.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, they say it's all a bit of fun, really.
Right.
And it is quite good natured in the sense that afterwards, the kind of whoever wins it will go around all the pubs and collect for charity.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough. But you're throwing your hat in the ring. You want to be that guy to throw the ball off the thing.
Yeah, but I think I could throw it to somebody, you know, get it into you and Stevie. Like,
yeah.
I
mean,
can anyone go? Like, if
anybody
decide
can go,
to do it
yeah.
next year, we can just go.
Yeah.
They say we're going to do it and then never do
we're
it.
We're not going to do it.
Because now it's, you know, in the age of YouTube.
Yeah.
You get like American YouTubers reacting to it. It's brilliant. I just don't know what to add to it. Yeah,
love it. Well, it's not all about that. We're not just brought you in today. Tell us a bit about you, Josh. We now know you're a successful stand-up comedian, writer, actor, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But did you have any sort of more quote unquote normal jobs before comedy?
Yeah. So my first couple of jobs, I've done a few things. I've worked in like storerooms and factories was my first job, and then I worked in social care. So people that came out of hospital, you'd make sure they had their house was set up for them to move home.
Right.
Which, on the face of it, doesn't sound like a job that would you're then going to go into comedy.
Yeah.
But when I think about it, I probably, and even like my mum and dad. So my dad's a scaffolder. My mum was a post lady growing up. And you think, oh, that's not really, they're not in the arts, they're not, but you think they are, they're very sociable jobs. You're making a first impression. You know, I think my mum was a post lady, or me going into people's homes.
Yeah.
You're making a first impression, like, in double figures every day.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then I honestly think that's, I've been in so many people's houses, for them, for me to be an observational comedian, observing how people live, kind of, it's like a bit of a training ground, really.
Right, yeah.
No, I think it's really, really helpful for me, yeah.
Well, is that something you would find yourself actively doing, like making observations about things, even at a young age?
I think I was making notes, yeah, yeah. I can remember as a kid noticing, did you ever see Peter Kay's routine where he's sliding on his knees?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can remember making that observation to, like, my mum. And then seeing him do it, I'm not saying PK nicked it off, but it's like a big thing. That thing I noticed, I thought was funny.
Yeah.
Peter Kay's noticed it and said it's funny.
Yeah.
So I must be able to spot things.
Right.
And then I always wanted to do it. I remember seeing, like, Lee Evans just sweating on telly, and Billy Connolly and Victoria Wood. And I loved Vic and Bob. That's my thing. My dad used to love Vic and Bob, and we'd watch Shooting Stars. And then George Dawes would come on and do his mad songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I just loved how silly it was, and I'd go into school and do, like, all the Vic and Bob stuff, and
what to your mates, and
yeah, like, we really want to see those fingers and all that. It's great, yeah. And then when I was like 15, 16, that was when Phoenix Nights was out, and the Office was out, which, what, you know, it's two things to live through at such an impressionable age.
Yeah,
it was like, I just loved it, man. And then I didn't do anything until I was 24. I'd never done anything, never been in a band or any plays or anything like that. Didn't do drama at my school, but I just knew I wanted to do this thing. And then I signed up to an open mic and then didn't go, bottled it. Then a year later, I was having, like, a bad day at work. I was like, oh, no, come on. And I went, and I loved it.
I read this. I read that you bottled it, and I can definitely understand why, because we've never done stand-up, but we've done stage stuff with Happy Hour, and the nerves that I had before first going out were unlike anything I've ever...
See, I can't even imagine how that would be doing a pod, because that's... At least stand-up, you've got your jokes, you've got stuff, whereas you're kind of... I think that's really scary to go out podcasting. And,
yeah. So... How did you get the confidence? Because you bottled it once, a year later you did it. What changed in that year?
I think I just wanted to do it more again. It's like anything, I think. You only quit smoking when you actually want to quit smoking.
Mm.
And it's like, I think I liked the idea of doing it, and then it got to the point now I actually want to do it.
Mm.
And I just did it. And just
Did it go well?
Did go well, yeah. It was probably really bad, you know, actually. But
yeah.
For me, and... the fact I'd done it and got some laughs, I was like, oh, no, this is...
How many people was that in front of?
Maybe 20.
Yeah.
Maybe 20. And then there were some other people on that were bad before me, which helped. You know what I mean? You'd see somebody do it badly. Yeah. Yeah. Like, oh, I can, you know.
Can you remember any of the routine?
What was it? I can't say. I think one of them was about... And this is never not relevant. Is remember the video of that woman having sex with a horse?
Yeah.
Years ago at school.
I mean, no.
You did say yes way too quickly.
There's one recently.
One recently.
Yeah.
And I was, it was something like, watch the video of a woman, this is so bad. A woman having sex with a horse. Imagine having sex with a woman. Crap.
No, I like it.
It's okay, but it was, I got away with it.
Right. Like,
you're playing to the right audience here.
Yeah.
And then the second time I did all new stuff again. I didn't realise actually what you do as a comedian, that works, so keep that, add to that, throw away what doesn't work.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're new, you're like, oh, well, I've done that, so I've got to do new, you know, no one does that. Maybe Billy Connolly once... One person every four generations might work like that, but most comedians get a set, add to it, take stuff out, put stuff in.
Yeah.
Whereas when you're new, you're like, oh, you're just doing new stuff all the time. You think, oh, that'll work. You haven't learned that won't work yet. So you're so fresh to it. You're just throwing everything at it. It's quite a exciting time.
Well, that was the one thing that, so like, I always wanted to be stand up when I was younger. I used to watch everyone, all the names you mentioned. Yeah. And we've been lucky enough to interview some incredible comedians on it. And before we ever did anything live, my one thing that I could never wrap my head around, I just used to think I would never get on stage because if I've written a joke and I think it's funny, if I read that joke again the next day, because I've heard it, I'm like, oh, shit, right? It could be good, but I would never have the confidence to tell it twice.
Yeah.
But it's weird how comfortable you get, or for me, I found it was weird how comfortable I got with people not laughing at stuff when I was up there.
Yeah.
Do you know that? Probably
totally. If it all comes from everything's experience, isn't it? Everything's experience, and you learn, you know, to be comfortable in a bit of silence sometimes. Or a lot of comedians record their gigs, audio recording, whereas I don't do that. I like almost like try and feel it. So if I'm doing a new material, I'm like, oh, they're not laughing, but they are interested. Right. And you wouldn't get that from just audio.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, oh, they're not laughing, but they are intrigued at the idea. If you did something else with this, it could work.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah.
But you very quickly, I don't know if you found this in the live shows, but if you get something that works, you fucking hold on to it.
Oh, it got boring for us.
Well, we would rinse and repeat, and I remember I had this guy send me an email, and he was fuming, and he was like, I came to Newcastle and Liverpool, and you said the same jokes at the same time. Yeah. Like, what do you expect us to do?
Yeah.
Not that I emailed you about it, though.
Yeah, no, he was fuming. But do you remember the first joke you ever wrote down?
Not the Peter Kay one.
Yeah, I can remember this.
Can you?
Yeah. And it was, I actually think it's not a bad joke.
Go on. It
was, you know, when you were a kid, you kind of, I think we learnt about jokes at school for some reason. And it was, you know that joke, what's black, white and red all over?
Yeah.
It's a newspaper
yeah.
And I kind of rewrote it. What's black, white and red all over? A zebra ripping a man apart. Which I think that's, I think it makes sense you know, for a kid. if I think about that now as a kid, it's, I think I knew that to take the audience one way, because that joke already existed.
Yeah.
So that, I think I knew if they think that's going to happen and something else happens, that's funny. I think I'd tune into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is so much of jokes is to make them think one thing's going to happen and then another thing happens.
Yeah.
And if that thing can also be quite visceral and a bit absurd because it's a zebra eating a man, that is probably, that's quite an extreme, that might be funny.
Mm.
I think when I break it down now, knowing what I know now, that's why that would kind of make sense.
Do you think there was ever a time when, because there's a phrase, isn't there, to have funny bones, like to be naturally funny, which obviously you have. Do you think, I guess there's two questions here. One, do you think anyone can be funny? Can you learn to be funny? Is that, do you know what I mean? You know, like misdirection and...
Yeah,
like,
I think you're kind of talking about two different things. I think stand up, anybody can learn. I think anybody can be funny.
Right.
I can't. There's not many people in the world who I know who have never made me laugh.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah.
I think everybody can be funny. Certainly socially.
Mm.
And then in terms of stand up, there's some of which it's like what notes, choosing what notes to play, and the skill of, you know, misdirection or telling a certain thing a certain way. But you can learn all that. But if you, so much it's just instinct.
Mm.
I always think, you know, very, how often do you say something socially, you think, oh, this will be funny, I'll say it, and it gets nothing.
Yeah.
It always, you probably will always get a laugh, you know, right?
Yeah.
And so your instinct's usually right. So it's the next bit, it's learning to do it.
Yeah.
And then the longer you do it, I don't know if it gets easier or harder the more you do it, do you know what I mean?
Mm. Do you still get nervous to go out, though?
I get waves now and again. I don't know if you get this with the podcast. Mm. I'm like, I'm chilling, and I'm like, oh, no, I feel, for some reason.
Yeah.
It might be because there's a hendo over there and they've all got inflatable cocks on their head. might be that. but yeah, you do sometimes. You get nervous. Or if you're doing a new thing you've not tried before. Or
Who's your favourite comedian at the moment, Stevie?
At the moment?
Yeah.
I haven't actually been watching. I like that Shane Gillis guy that keeps going
American
around.
Guy.
I just watched Matt Rife's. Didn't rate it.
You're not a fan of Matt Rife?
I like his stuff he posts online, where he's doing crowd work stuff. I think he's really good at, but the one he just did for Netflix I didn't rate personally.
Right. Yeah,
but everything I've seen of Shane Gillis I've laughed at.
Yeah, is he the one who went on Joe Rogan?
Yeah, he went on Joe Rogan quite recently.
What about you, Josh? Who's your favourite at the moment?
I love a guy called Nate Bargatze.
Nate Bargatze?
He's from Tennessee. He's an American guy.
I'm going to have a look.
You might know him if you see him.
Growing up, mine was always Lee Evans.
Was it?
Lee
Evans
is brilliant, yeah.
Well, how would you describe your comedy style?
I don't know. It's kind of like observational, I think. I didn't realise until I did the videos how I thought I was like a bit of a quirky, absurd guy. And then now just massively straight down the middle. Broad, obvious, easy observation. That's what the internet's taught me. Yeah. But yeah,
your videos are obviously super popular online. That's I think it's fair to say that's how a lot of people get into your comedy. That's how, well, that's certainly how.
Yeah,
I
that's totally fair. Yeah, I think so. Just when I did my first tour,
yeah.
I think if you'd asked the audience as a percentage who'd come from videos, I'd say 90% from videos. I'd say 5% from maybe seeing me support somebody else or...
That sounds like it's going to fall on her head, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah, sorry.
And then maybe just 5% like miscellaneous.
Right.
They're just walking past the theatre.
Yeah.
You've got to account for them as well.
Yeah.
1% didn't know what they were coming to. You know, anything like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've done the Apollo now, haven't you?
Did the Apollo, yeah.
Is that, has that been out yet or not?
It was out, yeah, just before Christmas.
Oh shit! Yeah. Last year, did that change? I've not seen it, obviously. Sorry, but did that change things in terms of the ticket sales?
I don't know, mate. Honestly, no. I don't know what TV is or does anymore.
Right.
And I think I don't know. It's weird to say that whenever I've done TV things, I just see it as a day out.
Yeah.
Basically, just visiting the set. It's like you're visiting the Mock the Week set, like a tour. Do you know what I mean? When you can go around Coronation Street, go around the cobbles.
Yeah.
It's basically like that. You go into these things you used to watch. And
right.
I don't know. If you looked at the online views compared to... But also, it's a different ask. You're asking somebody to watch something for 60 seconds on their phone, which they carry around with them 24/7.
Mm.
Or you're asking somebody to sit down and give half an hour.
And your skits probably get more views than...
A lot of TV.
Yeah, most things on TV these days.
Certainly, it would, yeah.
Yeah.
But obviously, it's a different thing. You know, you're not going toe-to-toe because it's like a 30-second thing. But
yeah.
But yeah, I think, so I do a video every Monday. And I did it last year. I was like, I'm going to do one a week for a year and see what happens.
Right.
And then I got to the end of last year. I was like, I'll do it for another year and see what happens. And then we're just getting to the end of the second year doing that.
So how was the growth on that then? Because it must have been slow at the start, like most things. And then did you have one that just boomed? Was it a gradual?
I think it was like consistently decent. I think it was consistently decent enough.
Yeah.
And then you have one or two anomalies either way. You have one or two turkeys, don't you? And you have one or two that like, really go.
Yeah.
And then when you've got another one the following week, it's like, I don't know. I never had a strategy really other than just to do one a week.
Yeah.
I don't really know about the algorithms and all that stuff. But yeah, I think consistency has helped me. It's like anything, you've got to get in at the right time. Mm. Like you probably started this podcast at a great time.
Yeah, five, 6 years ago. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think so much of it is just getting on the crest when something's...
Mm.
And then also maybe I might stop doing them soon and do something else.
Right.
I don't know. It's so hard to... It's like anything artistic. When you overthink it can be the death of it, I think.
There's what's your definitely maybe? What's your... Out.
As in a video.
Yeah.
So I like the footballer one. The ex-footballer talks about his favourite manager.
Yeah, that's good.
So I'm going to do one more of them because they do quite well. And probably my four cheese pizza was my
favourite. Isn't it?
That was my breakout. Yeah, that was my pet sounds.
Yeah. I love that. I do love it. How many do you? You say you do one a week. Do you have so many written, or is it just in that week? It's your job to find one.
I think it's a bit of everything. I'd love to have 10 in the can.
Yeah.
You probably get this with this podcast. If you've got like some episodes to sit on, you think, oh, I can chill.
Mm.
So I'd like to have some more in the can. I think I'm maybe 1 week ahead at the minute in my phone.
Yeah.
But yeah, it gets you, man. It gets you. Mm. You know, I've got to do another one this week. It's so pathetic, you know. You know, my dad like works 6 days a week out on roofs. I'm like, I've got to think of a 60-second thing in the next 7 days.
Do you ever find a quality difference where you're kind of like, I need to get one out compared to when you're ahead?
Yeah, totally. But actually, the ones that do best are the ones that have the shortest time from concept to... Actually, I mean, fucking concept. I'm doing a... Am I talking about... It's not DreamWorks, is it? It's me on my phone. But from idea to doing it, the shorter that time, the better it seems to... Because you haven't got in your own way. You're like, oh, this is funny. I'll do it.
Yeah.
And that's the best.
Yeah, if anyone out there hasn't seen Josh's social media videos, what you on Instagram, Twitter, all the good stuff, they are so funny. The four cheese pizza sketch is one of my favourite. You just never seem to miss. You're much like Alistair Green.
Alistair Green's great.
Yeah.
I think Alistair Green's different to me and better than me because he's like an actor. He's like a real... these characters... Whereas mine are like a premise, that makes sense. Mine are more like a sketch.
Yeah.
His are more like a piece, if that makes sense. I think he's brilliant.
But I think you're just being humble there because I think that's how, like, we always think that, like, I'll go and listen to a proper fucking podcast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but I think you're right up there with him. Are you familiar with a guy called Robbie Morgs on Twitter?
Yeah, I am.
He's good.
He's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like... So he's one... He's been doing them for ages.
Right.
And, you know, I've always enjoyed them.
Mm.
And there's another guy called Andrew Kerr.
Andrew Kerr.
Andrew Kerr is brilliant. So they're at the point... They're going to be... Their videos are so good, but they maybe just haven't got the base of a following to really go viral or whatever the thing is. But
yeah.
They're so funny, yeah, they're great.
Yeah, Robbie Morgs, he's got one. I like the one that's salmon hearing about that they've named it salmonella, and he's like, well, if all foods cause that, why are you putting us in the name?
Yeah,
that's
brilliant.
terrible PR. But no, Josh, your stuff's great. How has has it changed on Twitter much with it changing to X? Because maybe people just don't give a shit about me anymore, but my tweets seem to fucking flop now. It's turned to X.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I kind of... I try and avoid scrolling on anything. I kind of post and close it down.
Mm. Do you not check the comments or anything, is it?
I think I've got my name muted on Twitter.
Have you?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I just I can't get into any of that.
Was it from seeing negativity, or was it just get ahead of it?
Just noise. It's just noise, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a lot of, you know, you look at your phone and you refresh and you've got so many notifications. I remember, do you know Rosie Holt?
Yeah.
So I asked her about something. I had a tweet go viral and I messaged her saying, I've got a headache. what did you do? She's like, I'll just mute everything. She's like, just mute yourself on everything.
Wow.
And it was so helpful.
That's interesting though, because like...
It's hard because as a marketing thing, you kind of need to know that how it's done.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's yeah.
Is it not weird though that as a comedian, you're used to instant gratification, and then when you post something online, you then don't get anything from it if you've muted everything?
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? I think as a comedian, you kind of want very specific things. Like you want very specific praise. You know, I want attention, but on my terms.
Right.
It's quite a difficult.
You don't want to
never be happy. Do you know what I mean?
You don't want to come on a podcast and the guy start it with "you're handsome," for instance.
No, that's fine. That's exactly the kind of thing. Yeah. But yeah, I kind of try not to, and also because you probably know this, but the first few times you have things go viral, you're just like, you're just watching the views go up. You're checking. You're refreshing.
Yeah.
I remember one that I was getting I had a tight muscle here, and it was from my thumb. I had to stretch my forearms out because I'd been refreshing my phone too much.
Wow.
And I was like, that is a ridiculous way to live. Never do that again.
So Josh Pugh's muted on all social media. You check the... Do you still check the views?
Check the views on Twitter. Yeah, you can see them in the bottom corner, yeah. Yeah.
So people they're not, but people could just be sharing your videos going, this is the most unfunny geezer of all time. But because there's 5 million on there, you're like, yeah.
But you see it on Instagram because, you know, comedians are terrible. Comedians are like, you know, the bitch comedians do, like in groups and stuff.
Yeah.
And somebody will share like a video or a meme.
Yeah.
And it'll be like, it'll have 6 likes, but 58 shares. You know, okay. I see what's happened here. Yeah.
What do you enjoy most at the moment, mate? Because you've got quite a lot. You write. You write for panel shows. You're on panel shows. Stand up. Is stand up the main thing?
Yeah, I love stand up. I'm trying to do a scripted thing. I'm trying to get a scripted thing away, which is really hard work. But I'd love to, you know. So I mentioned Phoenix Nights and The Office.
That's
like a sitcom to me is still the pinnacle. It's still great to. When you get, I've been watching Brassic. You see, Brassic. I've just got into that, and when you've got a show like that ahead of you with all of them to watch, there's no better. And I think what I always wanted was people coming into work on a whatever day, I'm like, oh, did you see that last night?
Yeah.
I think that's what I always wanted, really.
Yeah.
So I'd love to get a sitcom away. And then just stand up. The panel shows, you know, they're probably against my personality to do them, really. I'm quite a shy guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think, and also the games and stuff. You know, some of the panel shows, if that was happening in my living room, I'd probably go in the other room. And here I am on national TV doing it. Do you know what I mean? It's just not my nature. I'd be like, oh, no, I'll let you crack on and all. But you do it to sell tickets to live. That's what I'm about, is live, yeah.
What's your favourite panel show you've done?
I really liked Hypothetical.
Yeah.
Which are really good on it. Acaster and Josh Whitaker. They're brilliant on it. They're really good. I think I'd enjoy Would I Lie to You, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's a good one.
Yeah.
And then I'd love Buzzcocks as well.
Yeah.
Which are basically all the panel shows are class, actually. I love them.
That's what we love about this pod, though, because we just steal those formats and do them on it.
We've done Hypothetical.
Yeah, we do. Would You Lie to Me?
Oh, good, yeah. You're not going to.
We played it with Rob Brydon.
You're not
going to
get me on that one.
Yeah, he didn't kick off, did he?
No, he said he didn't really care. Yeah, it's not his.
Doesn't own the format, does he? I did do once, from when I was doing YouTube videos, I did do a YouTuber goggle box. So I went around like popular YouTubers, filmed them reacting to other YouTubers, and then I got a cease and desist letter and I took it down. Yeah.
Is that all you have to do? You don't have to pay anything. They just tell you.
They say if you do it again, we're going to fine you.
Yeah.
All your money.
Wow.
So in the end, I didn't take it down. I just renamed it to YouTubers Watching YouTubers because I think it was the Gogglebox.
Yeah. It can be, the legal stuff can be like that specific, and it's like that. You can't use that.
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
Would you do Gogglebox?
Yeah, I do Gogglebox. Anything where you can sit down. I did a thing, it's not come out yet, it's called Battle in the Box. I basically had to go into a shipping container for 24 hours. And it's like Big Brother meets Taskmaster.
Okay.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
What are you doing in there?
Just little challenges, just sitting around, making your own fun. That's what I like. It's kind of time to breathe on something and just chill. And that's what I like.
Claustrophobic though, no?
No, it was all right. It's actually pretty less abrasive than this life.
This is horrible.
Were you in there with other people?
So it was me and Amy Gledhill on one side. I mean, I'm just telling you this format that you're probably just going to, you can run away with this and just do, you know.
We'll probably do it. Yeah.
So me and Amy Gledhill on one side of it, Guz Khan and Rachel Powers on the other side. There's a central wall. If you win the challenge, your bit of the box gets bigger, their bits get smaller.
So then it became claustrophobic.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Yeah.
I can't go in lifts.
Can you not?
Nah.
Yeah, it's not for you, mate. Yeah. You didn't get asked, but...
And they will never ask me, but I'm out. Sorry, guys. Yeah. You want me,
Would you do TV stuff? Yeah, does it appeal to you to do TV stuff?
So I did... 10 years ago, I did a show called Hotel of Mum and Dad. Familiar with this?
I remember the Bank of Mum and Dad.
Similar to that, I imagine.
Yeah,
they got me and my girlfriend at the time to move out to see if we could live independently.
Yeah,
it was really fucking horrible though.
Really?
It is the worst because I'd been with her 2 months and they said to me, for the show to work, we're going to have to build a bit of a picture that you've been together longer.
Yeah.
So they said that we'd been together for a year. Yeah. I didn't live with her mum, but they said that I did. So they got me to go round there one day and bring my PlayStation. And they said, right, play the PlayStation in loads of different poses. And then they cut it up as if, like, oh, Jack's always just on the PlayStation doing everything.
Yeah.
Then they asked me if I loved her. And I was doing a bit to camera and I said, oh, no, I wouldn't say love. But there's obviously put it together like I've been there with her for a year.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I didn't know they'd asked her the same question. And she said yes. And we premiered, we just watched it at home, but with her family. And they did a hard cut to me going, nah, wouldn't say love.
And then just back to...
Yeah.
It's about 10 years old, but someone recently uploaded it to YouTube all the comments are going, that Jack's a prick, like he needs to grow up.
They also said to me, Jack, what's the dream? Like, because they were basically making, and I was this, but they were basically saying I'm a failing YouTuber, no subscribers, living off my... And she was a nurse, so she was just lovely.
Yeah.
And then they were like, what's the dream? And I said, I want to be a stand-up comedian. And then on the last day, they said they'd book me a gig, but I'm just a kid. I don't have any jokes. Wow. So I went to a pub, and I've told this story on the pod a lot, and I'm not embellishing this. You were there, weren't you?
It was uncomfortable.
We walked into this pub, yeah, and there was a full-grown man on the floor in a suit crying, and I went, what's up with him? And they went, his dad's died. He's just been to his dad's wake. And I was like, all right, and where am I doing the stand-up? And they went, just in the corner. So I went into the corner, and I thought I was on a prank show, mate.
It was an open mic night,
yeah.
But everyone was doing music.
Yeah.
He was the only comedian.
Yeah.
Oh, I hated it.
And there was like three or four people. Again, like, I'm just not funny, so I didn't know what I was saying, but I said, I read a fact saying statistically you're less likely to laugh at someone's jokes if you're attracted to them. So if I'm shit tonight, like that kind of vibe.
It's not bad. That's something.
And then there was three blokes at the bar, and one of them went and just walked out. Yeah. And then I was like, all right, that's a third gone. Yeah.
I did a gig the other day, probably the worst gig I've done in 5 years the other day.
Oh, wow.
There was a guy just sat in the audience about three rows in, just like that. Like he's watched his caravan burned out.
Why was it so bad?
It wasn't even hatred. It was like,
I can't work it out. Disgusting. Yeah. What is the worst gig you've ever done?
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's stuff like that. It's like, there's some gigs that just, they have chosen not to like you before you've even done anything.
Right.
They're the hardest ones. They hurt me because I'm like such a people pleaser.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, give me a chance. some comedians will be like, oh, fuck you, whatever. I'm like, oh, no, play it.
Yeah.
What can I do?
What's going on in your head? And you are a great stand-up comedian, but on them odd occasions where you've had a gig, not go well, no one's laughing, what's going on in it inside here?
Oh, mate, retirement, retraining as a teacher. on stage, I'm like, well, I've not got a degree, but I could do like a four-year sandwich thing. And if my wife ups her hours, I can maybe do a part-time thing whilst I retrain, and then in 4 or 5 years' time, you know, get into the calling out for male teachers in primary. So I can get into primary. I'm literally, I'm mapping out my whole life.
Josh, we asked you who your favourite comedian is at the moment. Who's your favourite comedian of all time?
Favourite comedian of all time is, I'd probably say, Harry Hill.
Really?
I love Harry Hill.
Oh, wow.
I love his jokes. I love his, he's got a glint in his eye. He's like, he's daft. You can imagine it's gone badly for him loads of times because the kind of act he is.
Yeah.
And I love Harry Hill. Love Harry Hill.
What's his stand-up like?
Great.
Is it?
Yeah, just daft jokes and all this.
I don't think I've ever...
I haven't. Yeah.
I just know him from TV Bert.
TV Bert.
Yeah, he's got...
And his big collar.
Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of... he does things with a house band. He's got this house band called The Caterers. And they just say, kind of in like catering gear. Just like, he's brilliant. I loved him. Love Harry Hill.
You've gigged with quite a lot of top comics, haven't you? Like, my comedy hero growing up, much like a lot of us, is Ricky Gervais. What's it like to tour with him? We've been lucky enough to have him on the show a few times.
He's a lovely guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's just exactly how you'd expect him to be.
Yeah.
Proper normal guy, funny, socially, supportive.
Yeah.
Really good. You've got, Brent is so in our culture. You have to don't do Brent at Gervais.
Yeah.
You have to stop yourself. Do you know what I mean? But he's... really good guy, and he's kind of I've done some mad gig. I did a Paris Olympia with Gervais.
Wow.
Mercedes through the streets of Paris to the Olympia.
Cool.
Trying to make a joke about St. John's ambulance work in Paris. we're not on the the beret. that's mad. And Kevin Bridges is amazing.
Yeah,
I think he's the best comedian in Britain.
Yeah,
yeah. His bits are just so. If I had one Kevin Bridges bit, it would ruin the rest of my act because it'd stand out so much. He'd be so much better than everything else.
Oh, that's nice praise, though.
Yeah, he's amazing, mate. He's got the stuff he drops, the stuff he cuts from his show would be like every other comedian's best routine.
That's the tour title for you, isn't it?
Yeah.
I love it, mate. I love it. Now, something I was surprised to learn about you, Josh.
Yeah.
You've got 50 caps for England, haven't you?
I'm actually on 63 now.
63?
63, yeah.
Because I saw a photo you shared last year. Obviously, yeah. You're on the 50-plus wall.
Yeah.
And your name is there at St. George's Park.
Yeah.
Just above Kyle Walker and Harry Kane.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucking impressive. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, it's amazing, mate. So that is... I still can't believe my name's on that wall. It's mad. So I play for England's partially sighted team. I've played since I was 20. And I'm 34 now. And it's the best thing I do. Of all the things I've done in my life, which I'm so lucky to do, representing England at football is the best. It's like every kid's dream, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm vice captain, so.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. My best mate in the team's captain, so I'd never. And I've said I'll finish when he's 35.
Right.
I said I'll finish when he finishes.
Oh, wow.
I said that to him, then I'll do one more. And
so you said you played since you were 20.
Yeah.
What, is that for England?
England since I was 20, yeah. So I always played as a kid. I was born with an eye condition. I've got about 15% vision, which doesn't really mean anything to me because I've never really known any different.
Right.
But basically, on the eye, if you think of the eye chart and you're going to have your eyes tested... Yeah. I can't see any of the chart. When they bring the chart, so they have to literally, when I go to Specsavers, sometimes I go to Specsavers just for an eye test, as everybody does.
Yeah.
And they don't know because they're not at the hospital.
Yeah.
They just think, oh, this lad's in to get glasses. And then when I can't see anything on the board, I'm like, no, it's okay. And then they bring the board halfway and I can see the top letter. So that's what I can see.
Oh, right.
See the top letter. Oh, it's probably where that camera is. That's no good to anybody. This watch, but the top letter
about 3 meters away.
It's exactly 3 meters. Yeah, it's three.
Right. So
I always played small sided football as a kid. I was, one of the good players in the team and all that. Really good on the playground and all that. And then when it got to 11 a side, I just couldn't cope. With the distances was too big. I was crap when it was sunny. But when I was a kid, I didn't understand. Like, why am I not? I'm not getting any better. I'm getting worse.
Oh, is it bright lights?
Bright lights.
Oh,
so
this is shit,
yeah. No, but this is okay. It's kind of I'm static. I'm not doing anything.
Right.
I'm not trying to. If you chucked a football at me, I might struggle. But right. I dropped out of football when it went to 11 aside for a bit, and I tried other stuff. I kept being told I was partially sighted, but I didn't really know what that meant.
Yeah.
Because he's an adult. Yeah, I don't know what that means. So I did like rugby and boxing, and I didn't understand that I was massively at a disadvantage at these things.
Right.
And then when I was like 18. I coincidentally met John McDougall, who's the captain of England. And I said, he knew it. I couldn't see well. It's like, oh, there's an England team. I was like, what are you on about? And then I went and I was off the pace. They're really good players. And I'd not played football, dropped out of football for a long time. And then I've actually started playing again. And we play futsal, which is the indoor version of the game.
Yeah.
So the light element's gone. The distances are smaller. And yeah, I've been in the team since I was...
That's unreal.
It's amazing. Yeah, I played in like Japan and...
Wow.
Yeah, so it's amazing. It's great.
So with your eye, is it a condition?
Yeah, it's a condition, yeah. What,
has it got progressively worse or...?
I think it did and then it's stable and it won't get worse again, which is, that's massively reassuring. So everybody's conditions are different.
Yeah.
Some people get worse, but I could get like cataracts like anybody could your prescription might get worse as anybody's would, but my actual condition is not going to get any worse.
What is the condition?
It's got a really long nail, don't know if people... It's like ocular.
Stevie used to be an optician.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I just thought I'd stay quiet during this.
So it's called ocular albinism and nystagmus. I've got.
Do you know much about that?
Yeah, nystagmus is a shaking of the eyes.
That's it.
Which you can see a little bit when you look at
Josh. Yeah, that's comments I get on my video.
that's why you weren't muted.
And then, what was the other one?
Ocular albinism.
So it's just like albino is lack of pigmentation from melanin. So he's got that in his pupils.
Oh, right.
So it'll allow light.
Do you see in like colour?
Yeah, I see colour, yeah.
Yeah.
If I can almost see light too well, if that makes sense. Mm. Back of my eye is pale, it should be dark.
Oh, right.
So light just floods it and reflects back through. And
is that both eyes?
Both eyes, yeah. Both eyes. So I think my left eye's a bit better, but not noticeably.
So does that affect things? We'll get back to the football for sure, but does that affect things in your work, in stand-up and stuff?
Yeah, stuff like, if we get to the venue, you work in dark environments all the time.
Yeah.
So, even stuff like getting to the stage, I know it sounds so basic, but I'll just get there a bit early, just look where it is. I can't really see the audience. I can see them a bit. But when you get to the bigger theatres, you don't really see the audience anyway.
Right.
It's just, well, you know, it's just like...
Yeah.
It does, but not to the point where it's a problem.
I didn't realise any of this. Sorry for making you write a question as soon as you came in.
Not at all, mate. Why? Because I've never known any different, really. I'm doing so much. I'm making so many allowances for myself without even realising. I wouldn't get to this venue like with a minute to spare.
Yeah.
Because I just think, well, you might get lost a few times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just factor it in.
Right.
You just factor it in.
We a couple of months ago, we had a TikTok star, blind footballer, Blind Tobes, come on the pod. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Yeah.
And he has no vision.
So he plays for the blind football team.
He's blind. So there's classifications. There's B1, which is the lowest sight. Then there's B2 and B3. That's what partial football is.
So when they play, they have to play with eye guards on to make sure no one can.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
But you won't do that, will you?
No, we wouldn't be eligible. We're not allowed to do that anyway.
Right.
You want to use your vision as much as you can. Really.
Yeah.
I think it'd be really hard. If me and you played blind football now for the first time.
Yeah.
Me being partly sighted already.
Yeah.
Would be no advantage to me. Do you mean we're both playing without sight?
Yeah.
For the first time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it'd be no advantage because we're not using our sight.
Blind football's all about your hearing, isn't it?
Yeah. Is it 11? No, it's futsal.
And then the keepers can see, the goalkeepers can see.
Yeah.
It used to be, not so much now, but we used to play, obviously we play sighted teams in our preparation.
Right.
And they'd come and they'd not know that the keepers could see. And they'd just be shooting from everywhere, and the keepers are just like...
They must think the keeper's like a god.
It's amazing, mate. It's great. And so the players are so good.
Mm.
It's but also a bit unorthodox. We'll play sighted teams in the preparation, and then we'll go and we'll play like... I mean, Japan have got this player. I don't know where they've had him from. He's almost unplayable. I don't know what he can see. He can't see much. You know, you see him like at dinner and he's on his phone like this. But then he gets, and I'm like, this guy's like...
Messi.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. It's amazing. So it's so impressive, man.
Wow. No, it is, isn't it? We were speaking to Blind Tobes, and I mean, some of the stuff they can do.
The blind football.
It's incredible.
It's brilliant. If you put a blindfold on, you can't, it's easy to forget when you see people doing stuff like that on video.
Yeah.
I'd be scared to move.
Yeah.
If you put me in a blindfold now, I'd be scared to move.
Yeah.
And these lads are sprinting full pelt with a ball with another athlete running towards you. There's a board somewhere.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
You've got 60. How many did you say? 63.
I think I'm 63.
63 capturing, which is insane. You played in 3 world championships.
Yeah.
How did they go?
Yeah. So we've got to the final, the last two.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we got to the final against Ukraine are the best team in our sport. Ukraine are good at... They really... Their Paralympic program and their para sport, they really put a lot of money and time into.
Is that what it... Funding and stuff?
It's funding and it's all that stuff. We're funded by the FA, you know, we're England, you know, we're the richest team. It's an embarrassment, really, sometimes.
Right.
The resources we get.
Yeah.
We're pampered.
Yeah.
We're like... Yeah, got all these drinks, bottles, and all this, and then
Gatorades.
Gatorade. Then Russia will turn up with their shin pads and a carry bag and just pop 6 past you and then just go home again. So we got our World Cup was in Birmingham this year, which is basically that's basically a home World Cup for me.
Yeah,
it's not the ball game, but it's pretty prestigious. So it was, and we're so close. I think we're 20 seconds away from taking Ukraine to penalties in the final, and they scored with 20 seconds to go.
But
you know, credit to them, you know, if you think what their country's going through, to send a team to the partially sighted World Cup, God knows what the preparation would have been. And then with 20 seconds left on the clock, they came from behind, they got it back to 3-3 and then went 4-3. Just massive, you know, credit to the unbelievable people.
Do you have to train?
Yeah, train.
How often do you train?
So we have like a program to follow. So I'll probably do 4 sessions a week.
Oh wow!
One or two of them will be football. Others will be like some kind of running session on the treadmill or gym.
Right.
When I was on tour, it's really hard. I was at the World Cup coming up, and I was on tour, so I was doing like these mad sessions on like hotel treadmills, and it was tough, man. It was like obviously because we do this thing called a 4x4, which is like you sprint for 4 minutes basically, and then jog for 4 minutes. And because I can't see the things on the treadmill, the numbers,
right?
So I have to get 2 treadmills going. So I have get 1 treadmill absolutely travelling. That's your sprinting treadmill. Then your jogging treadmill.
Yeah.
And I was on the jogging treadmill, and this lady comes in. She got like a towel over her and had AirPods in. And she's just about to, she didn't know that that one was, she's literally about to step.
Fuck. I'm like, whoa. That's unreal. Yeah. You're living the dream, mate. You're living my dream. Play for fucking England, stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
You've got it all going on.
It's great, mate. It's very hard work. You have to kind of acknowledge that it's hard work, but it's so lucky, mate.
Yeah.
Amazing stuff.
Yeah.
And it won't last forever, you know, you can't play forever.
No.
I think I'm 34 now. But I feel good. I feel all right, man. I feel, my body's all right.
How long do you reckon you'll go for?
Beckham, isn't it? Beckham said he's not retired from England. No, he said if you need him, he's ready. that'll be me. I'm not retiring.
Is the retirement age different for partially sighted?
I think, 67 is the government. So I'll just go, as soon as I'm not of working age anymore, I'll take me out of it.
Do you get paid to play or not?
So the FA, they're working really hard, but they're bringing in, we've always been amateurs.
Yeah.
You get like your expenses and you get all the kit and all that stuff.
Mm.
But recently there's kind of a big overhaul in kind of para football.
Right.
And it's just getting to the point now where players are
decent.
Given, so it's not, you're not blooming at Soho House and, Marbella heavy, but it's an acknowledgement of your...
Yeah. I'm real.
Yeah.
So
it's great.
And future goals for England, mate? When's the next World Champs?
I don't know. I think it might be, 2025 or 2026.
Right.
I think we've got Euros before that as well.
Yeah.
So just to contribute, just to do my bit and just be ready and just experience. As you get older as well, like there's people on that team like 18. And it's like that. I can remember being 18, and now I'm like 34, and I'm seeing that they're getting their first like proper partner, or having kids, or finishing uni, and like they look at me like I know what I'm doing, and that
you're the Henderson of the team.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
What position are you?
I'm like a defensive player.
Oh yeah.
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 And it's but they keep you young, right. they keep you young, and they push you and. Yeah, it's great. I'll just keep doing it for as long as I can.
I tried to find some videos of you playing. I can't find much.
There's one on my... If you go on my Linktree...
Right.
There's footage from the final on there. It was all... It kind of all gets streamed on YouTube and then it either disappears or...
Right.
But there's a documentary coming out. BT did a documentary about James Owen. So James Owen's got who's Michael Owen's son. He's got the same heart condition as some of the lads. So Michael Owen and James coming to meet us and... It was about his journey with sight loss and sport.
Oh, right.
And then the documentary follows the team at the World Championships in Birmingham. And it goes on... it's TNT now, isn't it? It goes on TNT Sport, yeah. If you notice a shift from me, I find this really hard. So I'm interviewed as a comedian and then I go into FA mode. Like, look at my arms. I'm like at a press conference all of a sudden. it's so hard to do between the two. I'll be like comedy, and then I'm like, just me and the lads, if we keep working. it's so hard to do.
Moving the aqua out of the way.
Yeah.
Love it. Now, Josh, it's been a pleasure, mate. I want to talk quickly, just finish on 2024, because you're back out on tour with your new tour, Existing La Vida Loca.
Yeah.
Great name.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a great name.
Existing, it's all about trying to, pulling the trigger on enjoying yourself and having a laugh. I hold back in a lot of situations. I just kind of chill and, I want to just get stuck in a bit more.
Yeah.
Let's go nuts, do you know what I mean? I'll do whatever, do you know what I mean? Happens, but,
you just tighten the little...
Yeah, I think I tightened it. If anything, but, that's no spillages at all. But, So yeah, I'm going February till March. I'll probably add dates. It's so hard. You had to put a tour on. Talk about muting comments on Twitter. It's like, why are you not coming to the Shetlands? Why are you not coming to Lincoln? The answer's contained in the question, I think. But no, it's Lincoln's nothing against Lincoln, Lindsay. But yes, I'm doing that. I think I might be doing some Paralympic coverage as well in Paris.
Oh, nice.
Which would be great.
Yeah.
And then try and get the scripture thing going. But, mate, for me, I just want to have nice days.
Yeah.
I want to get up in the morning, take my dog, have good days. That's what it's all about, isn't it? You can chase all these things all you want, but it's about what you're doing today, isn't it? Not today, but...
not had a nice day today.
Yeah, write it off. Go again tomorrow. rebuild. Yeah.
Where can people get tickets to your tour, Josh?
It's all, if you go on my social media, or joshpughcomic.com. It's all on there, mate.
I have already got mine, so I will see you there in Norwich. Any New Year's resolutions?
Just keep believing.
Keep believing.
Yeah.
In?
Just yourself, others around you. Scientology, the big... No, no. let me think about that for a second. Just...
have you got any?
New Year's resolution. I just want to lose weight, but I say that every year, never do.
You've been going to gym a lot.
Yeah, getting there. Yeah. I am doing it. Yeah. I'll do it better next year.
Yeah.
Stop eating shit.
No, you'll never do
thing.
That. You'll
no, I probably
that.
Won't.
No, you don't want to, mate. It's no point. It's no
Shit's
life, though.
Great.
Yeah.
Your food's great. Yeah.
Jack loves a delivery.
Mm. Are you a delivery guy?
In 2 years, I've had, or in year and a half, I've had 269 delivery orders. And that's not a joke, and that's not counting Uber Eats and Just Eat.
Wow.
It's impressive.
I've got an idea for a service. Have I told you this?
Go on.
It's like... Deliveroo / Just Eat, but it's just condiments and the guy's on a moped. Do you know what I mean?
What, so when they forget it?
Oh, it's like, oh, we need some sauce. It's just sauces.
And does he put it on?
He comes, he's got like optics. He's like racing, he's like an emergency service.
Like when you see him carrying
blood. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a terrible idea.
Yeah, it's not good, is it?
No.
It's not only is it not practical, it's not comedically strong enough for how impractical it is.
It's a bad idea, but not bad enough to be a funny bad idea.
Yeah. A bad idea executed poorly. Yeah.
Oh, this is the Jack Makes Happy Hour podcast. Did you have any New Year's resolutions? Because I was about to...
Just maybe start vaping.
Start vaping?
Yeah, vaping's cool, man. Let's just be honest about it. Vaping is cool.
I'm trying to quit.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I keep quitting and then going back. Well, it's not quitting, is it? But yeah, it's not.
Mini retirements for me.
Okay, so Josh is going to start vaping. Maybe I'll stop. But this has been an absolute pleasure today, mate. So thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Looking forward to your show in March. This has been Jack Mate's Happy Hour podcast with Stevie White, me, Jack Mate, and the brilliant comedian, Josh Pugh. Josh Pugh,
yep.
What's the meaning of life?
Happiness.
That's nice.
Yeah. you know, people throw questions at you at these things.
Yeah.
You mean like, oh, they're just quick fires.
Yeah.
Your quick fires are like the deepest philosophical... Like that's something you'd spend 30 years pondering that. And you're giving me less than 2 seconds for something.
Happiness,
enjoyment.
Yeah.
In fucking joy. That's my one.
Perfect. See you in a few days, guys. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, mate. Thank you very much.